1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to ask you to stand when you find your place there. And I have 5 points, but I'm only going to preach one of them. And all God's people said,
amen.
You're supposed to say, oh me, bunch of carnal Christians. When I got home today, I already had been preaching on the home, and I had a couple of messages, one for this morning, one for this evening, and you know, I just couldn't get liberty, and I thought about this. I thought about this passage of Scripture because I think that our church family is just going through some hard times. And so I want to give you some timeless truths for tough times. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, this is not the first time I've even preached this message here. I did add some things to it, and I'm just going to preach one thought to you. But I do want to give you the rest of the thoughts because I hope you'll go home and look at them. 1 Peter chapter number 5, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 5, and we'll read down through verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Through verse 11. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a verse. Amen. What a verse. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make ye perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take these thoughts and comfort your people. Challenge our hearts to accept your divine purposes and to believe that in these tough times, in these trying times, in these times where we are being tested, that you want to grow our faith. You want to draw us closer to you. And God, I pray that we would allow these things and not only allow them, but you would teach us to count it all joy when these things come in our lives, because we know that a purpose is going to be fulfilled and brought about in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. When you read down through this fifth chapter, it's very obvious that Peter is writing to, and it is even before you get to this section, he's writing to a group of people that is being tested. They're suffering. They're going through persecutions. And Peter begins to give them some ammunition, if you will. He's forewarning them, and he's arming them so that they can be prepared for the trials of life, the tough times that come in our lives. And brethren, we all go through tough times. Some of you right now are going through very difficult times. You're struggling with some things. Some of them are known. Some of them are unknown. Some of them are financial, some of them are family, some of them are spiritual situations, some of them are personal, some of them are health. But we all go through tough times in life. And Peter said, I want to forewarn you that tough times are coming, but he said, I also want to forearm you. I want you to be armed so that when these times come. So I would hope that nobody sitting here tonight will say, well, you know what, I'm not going through a tough time. And so I don't really know if I need a message like this. Well, I'd rather have a message like this already prepared in my heart to know what to do when the tough time comes than to wait and try to scramble and find out what I need to do when the tough times get here. Amen? And so Peter did that. Now I want to remind you of something. What Peter is saying that God said is also what God is saying. And so a lot of times we say, well, you know, the Bible said, and we act like, well, it said it then, but it doesn't apply to now. Can I tell you, the Bible's still saying. The Bible's alive. All right? So what Peter is saying that God said then, he's still saying it. God is still saying that these truths will help you today. It will help them when he was giving it to them. And here we are hundreds of years later, and the same word of God is speaking, saying it'll help you too. This will help you. God's word is alive that way. It'll help us. It's just as relevant now as it was then. And so Peter's speaking, and he said, the first thing I want you to write in your Bible or just keep in your mind is when you get in a tough way and you're having a tough time, have a submissive spirit. Don't get isolated or don't get defensive or don't try to defend or lash out at people. Sometimes when we go through tough times, we can get out of character. And Peter noticed what he said in verse number 5. He said, you younger, you submit yourselves unto the elder. But now, just in case that we would forget that, well, you know, should we just do it that way? He said, well, actually, he said, just in the middle of that, he said, just be subject one to another. He said, just learn what it. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to submit? Now, you ladies should know. Hey, man, you hear from your husband all the time. I'm just carrying on. Now, listen, submission seems to be a bad word. People say, oh, you know, submit. Submit's a good word. It truly is. You know, submitting, biblical submission is two equals. Now, listen, it's an equal willfully and voluntarily bringing themselves under another equal. Sometimes when people think of authority and submission, they think of someone who was higher or better submitting to someone who was lower and not as good. That's not what biblical submission is always about. A man and a woman are just equal, brethren. You understand that. God doesn't love a man more than he loves a woman. But for the case of functionality, God has set up a system of authority and submission. And he set it up in the three forms of government, of church, of home, the three institutions that God has ordained. He has set up authority and submission. It's not just in the home, it's in government. It's in the church. And it's not because some are better than others. It's not because some are more important than others. It's because for functionality's sake, you have to have authority and those in submission. You have to have those in leadership and those who are in followership. That's just the way it's set up. Doesn't mean one's better than the other. And so what he's saying here is Peter's saying, learn what it is to submit. Did you know you'll never be more like Jesus than when you're submitting? The Bible says that Jesus submitted. He submitted himself to the will of the Father. He became obedient even to the death of the cross. He humbled himself and became a servant, brethren. You understand this. And so you'll never be more like Jesus than when you're submitting. But I want to tell you something else. You'll never be more like the devil than when you're rebelling. And so don't rebel against the authority that God has placed in your life. And here is Peter saying that when you're going through hard times, keep a submissive spirit. Don't lash out at people and don't blame people and don't start pointing fingers at people as to why you're going through what you're going through or why I may be going through what I'm going through. And sometimes we do that. We look for someone to blame for our problem or our situation. And here Peter said, no, he said, here's what you need to do. You need to learn what it is to submit yourself. Now, Peter actually mentions submission and subjection quite a few times in his writing here in 1 Peter. I'm not going to turn to them because this is not my preaching point. The next thing that Peter mentions in verse number 5, and he carries over into verse number 6, is not just a submissive spirit, but a spirit of servitude. He said, learn what it is to serve people. You mean even when I'm hurting? That's one of the best times to serve people. You mean even when I'm going through a difficult time? Yes, I do. That's a great time to serve others because you'll find that other people are having problems too. Other people have weaknesses too. Other people have needs too. Notice what Peter said here. I love this wording. He said this in verse number 5. He said, and be clothed with humility. Now that phrase there comes from a phrase that means to tie a knot. And it is directly attached to when Jesus girded up his loins in John chapter 13, and he bent down and he washed the disciples' feet as a servant. He had the heart of a servant. You know what Jesus was facing? He was facing Golgotha, Gethsemane. He was facing the unconscionable, the suffering of the cross, the sweating, as it were, great drops of blood in the garden, the sin of all the world being placed on him. And yet, as a servant, he bowed and he washed the disciples' feet. We'll come back to this one. Then he said not only be submissive, but he said have the spirit of servitude as well as the spirit of submissiveness. But he said have the spirit of serenity, verse number 7. And this is really the one that I felt like that I wanted to elaborate on, but I'll do it another time. Because when I sit on my couch today and was reading this, I just broke down crying. I am so glad that God cares for me. I'm so thankful. I don't ever want to get over the fact that God cares about me. That's something, brethren. And it melted my heart. I can cast all of my care on him. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, it's a sin to worry. And we're to be careful for nothing. And I connected some dots. The reason I don't have to be careful for anything is because I can cast all of my care on him. And the reason I can is because he cares for me. I am so thankful that God cares about me. God cares about what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through. I can't always know what you're going through, and you can't always know what I'm going through, but we can all always know that Jesus cares what we're all going through. And he does, brethren. He does. And sometimes I think that gets away from us. It kind of escapes us, and it goes over our head, but I pray he would seal it in your hearts. God cares what you're going through. Your neighbor may not. Sometimes even people in your family may not. But God does, you see. God cares. And the great thing about that is God can do something about it. And so he said, just cast all your care upon him. Have that spirit of serenity. That trouble-free spirit of God's going to take care of this. I don't know how. I don't know when. I just know God has got me in his hand. And he's going to take care of me. I don't always know how God is going to do it. I just know that God is going to work in my behalf. And I know that I can cast my care on him. And you can too, brethren. I'm just reminding you, you already know this. This is not some in-depth exegesis or, you know, some homiletical, hermeneutical type theological message. Listen, this is just basic Christianity 101. Just learn what it is to have a submissive spirit. Don't be a proud person. Be humble. Clothe yourself in humility. Be a servant. Find people you can serve. Quit looking for someone to serve you and look for someone you can serve. Amen. That's where it's at, brethren. We heard it tonight. That's where it's at. Look for someone you can serve. Look for some avenue where you can serve God by serving others. And Jesus said, as you've done unto one of the least of these little ones, you've done it unto me. And then he said, the spirit of serenity. And he moves from the spirit of serenity, and he's talking about having that calm, that peaceful heart of knowing you can take your troubles to Jesus. Now, don't do like I've done before. I've gone to the Lord and just kind of unpacked all my burdens, but before I left, I packed them back up and took them with me. You ever done that? That's a terrible way. You know, that's not unloading anything. Well, it is, but you're loading them back up. Now, don't do that. That's not a good way. And you're not going to get much help that way. And we have to remember that when we cast, that word cast, I don't know, I may end up preaching this point. That word cast is strong. It's a strong word. It has a decisiveness in it. Okay? A deliberateness. It's just you deliberately and with a decisiveness. I mean, don't be double-minded about it. Take it all to Jesus and let him bear up your burden, you see. Take it all to him. Casting all your care, he said. All of it, brethren. Not some of it, not most of it, not the big stuff. Take all your care to Jesus because he cares for you. He cares about everything that's going on. That word all means all. Casting all your care. Why? Because he cares about all that you're going through. That's why. Take it all to him. Take it all to him. And he cares about us that way, and I'm so thankful that he does. Be deliberate about it. Don't wait and let things mount up. Just take them to Jesus. What are you going through? What kind of care are you going through? Is it your walk with God? Is it a child? A wayward child? Is it finances? Is it sin? Is it something in your life that just seems to dominate you and you're struggling to move on from it? And it just keeps coming back and you think that it's gone, but it just keeps showing up again. Sin has a way of showing up at your house that way, doesn't it, brethren? Sin has a way of showing up at the door of our hearts, knocking again. Is it peace of mind? Are you troubled deep in your spirit? Can I tell you that the Bible means what it says and says what it means? That Jesus really does care, and you can cast all of your care upon him. Take it to Jesus. There's a songwriter that said, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. You have no other, such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. He cares, brethren. He cares. And so that's the spirit of serenity. Then there's the spirit of sobriety. Notice what he said, be sober in verse number 8. Be vigilant. Don't fall asleep now. I like what one writer said that I was reading after just today. He said, you know, he said in verse number 7, he said, be careless. He said in verse number 7, I wrote it down so that I wouldn't forget it, and there I did forgot it. What you laughing at? You forget stuff too. Amen. Be carefree. But don't be careless. Verse 7 says, be carefree. Be careful for nothing. Be carefree. But in verse number 8, it says, be sober. Don't be careless. Don't let up now, because the enemy's still there. And sometimes if we're not careful, we get in that good way, and we begin to tell God our problems, and we begin to tell God our cares, and we'll kind of lighten up. We'll let up a little bit. We'll let our guard down. And that's what the word sober and vigilant means, to be watchful, to be alert. Not just be awake, but be awake and alert. You know, you can be awake and not be alert. So he said, be sober, be awake, be vigilant, be alert while you're awake. Because the devil is, listen, as a roaring lion. He's seeking, all right, to and fro. And so you watch, right? Be watchful. And then he closed this by saying, the spirit of stability. God will give you stability. Now, I want to share a thought with you, and then I'll be done tonight. I want you to look with me again at what he said here in verse number 5, when he said in the middle of that verse, he said, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, one of the things that has really helped me when I get down, and I do get down, and when I am tested, and I am tested, and when I am tempted, and I am tempted, and when I go through, well, just times of discouragement, I don't always make them public, because I just believe that those are times that sometimes you just have to, the Bible says you bear your own burden. Now, there is a time that we're to bear one another's burden, Galatians 6. But also in Galatians 6, it says bear your own burden. And there's a time that we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And then there's a time that we need others to encourage us in the Lord. Is that right, brethren? That's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible's always right. And so I want to talk to you about serving. Can I ask you a question? As you turn to John 13, who are you serving? I want to give you an analogy and a scenario, and I want you to ask yourself a few questions, and then we'll have prayer tonight. And right after our service, Pastor David's going to come, and he's going to address the Vacation Bible School. And so after we dismiss, if you're not helping in Vacation Bible School, you can go outside or in the hallways. But if you're going to be in Vacation Bible School, stay in here. And Pastor David wants to address some responsibilities and go over some things for Vacation Bible School. Are you in John 13? You know, I love John 13, 17. I've quoted it from this pulpit many, many times. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. And it's not enough just to know things. You have to do what you know if God is going to be honored and you're going to get the help that God's Word will give you. But in the context in which this is given, it's tremendous. It's tremendous anyway, but it just makes it even more impactful. Now, you know this account. And I'm talking to you about serving. I want to, before I say anything else, say that I am so glad that I'm a part of a church that understands what it is to serve each other. And that is the role of a church. As a church, we serve one another. Now, certainly as a pastor, I ought to serve you, and our pastors and our deacons ought to serve you. We're servant leaders. I believe in servant leadership because the Bible teaches it. Amen? I said amen? The Bible teaches that. Listen, you want to be great among your peers? Serve them. You want God to honor your life? Be a servant. Have a servant's heart. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? So I'm not serving anyone. Well, that's not good. If you're not serving someone, that's not good. You need to be serving someone. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught that here. I wonder if Jesus were to come up to you tonight and say, I want to wash your feet. What would you say? Would you start taking your shoes off? Or would you be like Peter? Now remember who wrote, be clothed in humility. Peter. I do believe Peter was going back to this right here. I believe it. Can't prove it, but I believe it. I believe Peter was going back to this occasion. And he remembered that Jesus girded himself and got down and began to wash those disciples' feet. He was clothed in humility. And he humbled himself and God exalted him. And Peter never forgot that. And he said, when you are facing some of the toughest times in your life, the best thing you can do is find you a group of people and serve them. And God will use it to build some things in your life that need to be built for the tough times that lay ahead of you. I wonder if Jesus came up to you tonight and said, I want to wash your feet. What would be your response? Would you be like Peter and say, no, no, you're not washing my feet. You remember what the Lord told him? Are you in John 13? Is that what he said? Peter said, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Oh, no, Lord, not me. Such a proud fisherman, wasn't he? Such a proud man. I tell you, if we're not careful as Christians, we'll take on that attitude of the world, that demeanor of pride and being so proud that, well, nobody's going to wash my feet. And I certainly am not going to wash someone else's feet. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to say that we're going to have a foot washing. Some of you look, I've seen some of you kind of cross your legs. You know, you're not washing my feet. But I do want to help you out here now. I do. What do you think these disciples, could you imagine being there? All that Jesus had taught them and shown them, the power of God. And he girds himself and clothed himself in that humility. That apron is what it is. It's a servant's apron. And he girded himself with that towel, and he began to go around and wash their feet. And he went to Peter, and Peter said unto him, in verse number 8, Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Now would you tell Jesus, you're not washing my feet? No, you would say, like Peter, in ignorance, not just my feet, but wash me all over. I want to be a big part of you, Lord. And you know what Jesus told him? He said, no. He said, those that are clean, you don't need to be washed with all. Just your feet. Just your feet. Well, our feet get weary in this old lowland of sorrow, don't they, brethren? Our feet take us places we ought not be. Our feet endure a lot. And there's a lot of symbolism here that Jesus is teaching, and he's trying to teach them, your feet grow weary, you'll grow weary too. Your feet grow dirty, you'll grow dirty too. And so he's trying to teach them something, and he's saying, you know what? He said, I want to serve you because that's an honor for me to be able to serve you. And he wanted them to get it. So he said this. I want you to notice what he said in verse number 13. He said, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, and so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Whose feet are you washing? Are you clothed with humility? Are you too proud to help somebody whose feet are aching, who needs refreshment, who needs some relief? I don't think you are. I just think sometimes we need to be reminded. We're lowly servants. And when we will place ourselves there, God will highly exalt us. And he'll use us in a way that our minds cannot even begin to comprehend. As I sit and I listen to these young folks in particular, now Ricky and Lisa too, but as I listen to these young folks, I noticed a common theme. They were amazed at what God did with them. They felt like they were so little. They had so little to offer, and yet God done so much in and through them. Young people, you learned a great lesson. If you didn't learn anything else and you learned that lesson, you learned a great lesson. Who else needs to learn that lesson tonight? You willing to wash some feet? You willing to serve your brethren? You willing to be kind and tenderhearted, loving one another, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, had forgiven you? You willing to serve and help and minister to and reach out to and make sacrifice for and be there for people who need help? It's what Christians do, brethren. That's what Christians do. After Jesus said in verse number 14, he said, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. What kind of spirit do you have? You have a spirit of submissiveness? You willing to bring yourself under others? These are not easy things. Christianity is not, you know, we try to make it sound like it's so easy, you know. It is when you're filled with the Spirit, but the flesh fights against these things. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh says, I ain't gonna bend down and wash nobody's feet. I'm not going to become someone's servant. That's what the flesh says. The Spirit says, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. I'll serve that man. I'll serve that family. I'll serve those individuals. God, I will. I'll serve them. I'll help them. I'll minister to them. I'll go out of my way. I'll put them before me. I won't consider myself higher and greater and more important than them. Good spirit to have, isn't it? And only God can create that spirit in our hearts. Could I ask you to cultivate that spirit? Could I ask you to say, God, help me to have that spirit. Help me when I hear somebody in need that I won't be thinking, well, who's going to do that? But I will say with Isaiah, here am I, Lord. Send me. I'm a Christian. I'll help my brother. I'll help my sister. I'll help my fellow church member. Right? Right, brethren? This is what it's about. And many, many of you have that spirit. And praise God for it. Don't lose it. All right? Don't lose that spirit. Because that spirit is what makes for great unity. And great unity is something that God is well pleased with. It is. Let's all stand.